Hello, everyone. This is Accountability and Transparency Review Team call. Alice, I know that we had a regrets from Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Paul, is there any other team member who wasn't able to make the call today?
Odyssey hasn't joined yet, so I suppose he will be online soon.
Okay, so we're waiting on Olivier Mouhon. Okay, did anyone not receive a copy of the draft agenda? Any suggested changes to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. I'm going to make a recommendation that we begin with item number two, which Alice has kindly already done in the Adobe Connect room. Thank you, Alice. That we start with an update on the working group's progress and review of working group framework drafts. I've asked Alice to put on the screen the draft that Larry put together and that Manal edited, which I think provides a very useful roadmap as to how we can construct each of these framework documents on the respective issues of the working groups. And I'd like to ask Larry, are you on the line?
I am.
Would you mind just walking the group through how you filled in the holes here and constructed the document, and in your view, what is left to be done on this particular document?
Sure. I followed the template from Beijing up to a point, starting off with statement of purpose. It was simply just quoting the charge out of the affirmation of commitments that related to our work on the GAC. So that's just the direct quote out of the affirmation of commitments. The factual statement was basically to first start with a summary of the relevant provisions of the bylaws, and then secondly, a factual description of what has actually happened with the GAC the last couple of years. And for that, I thank Manal for her filling in a lot of the information on the specific items of GAC advice that have occurred in the last few years. Then I had a section on what the board's actions have been to assess the GAC role, because as Peter pointed out, our first task here is to assess how well the board is carrying out its commitments under the affirmation. So in here, the focus is on the joint board GAC working group, although I may actually go back and pull in some stuff out of the president's review that may relate to this, although it's pretty tangential. And then close this section off with just a summary of the public input that we've received, divided across the discussions in Brussels, where most of the substantive comments come from, as well as a summary of the written comments that were submitted, where on this issue, the public comments submitted in writing aren't particularly useful, but there were about 10 of them, and I summarized what they said. Then I laid out the questions for review, again, starting with exactly what we're assessing under the affirmation of commitment. So the first two questions for review come right out of the affirmation, and then the third deals with some of the more substantive, specific suggestions that were proposed in various of our conversations about improving the consideration of the public policy aspects of the ICANN issues. My reading of the affirmation of commitments suggests that all of these questions are fully within the scope of our review, so that we are both assessing ICANN's actions, but as part of doing that, we also need to be assessing, because one of the questions we're evaluating is whether ICANN is adequately making recommendations for improvement to ensure effective consideration, and it seems to me the only way one can assess that is to evaluate what recommendations for improvement might be made to determine if ICANN is making an adequate job of that. And that's where some of the five or six specific considerations come in at the end of the questions for review. So, and I think as a framework document, this is pretty well done. I think I invite members of the working group and members of the team overall to suggest additional questions that we might look at for review. In fact, I've thought of a couple more since I drafted this. I think that once we get those out, that really gives us the framework for which to start discussing and proposing specific recommendations based on those questions for review. So I think this is the jumping off point then to actually get down to the working group actually making some substantive judgments.
Thank you, Larry.
6 a.m., that's the best I can do.
No, thanks very much. As I went through this document, this struck me as a very, very solid example of where I think we can, as you say, jump off from. Focusing just on the structure and where we left off in Beijing, Chris, you had been spearheading the work to get to a particular structure of these documents. Can you comment, Chris, on this particular draft? Is there any element that you think either is missing or might be sequenced in a different way? What's your view of this? And then I'd open it up to the rest of the group for any comments.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. No, I think it's great, and I think the key here is to not get stuck in the structure too much, in the sense that there are certain ways of working that may suit individual working groups, and as long as we all end up at the same point at the end of the day, it doesn't much matter. I mean, I think I made the point before that the structure is only a guide, and I've already made some changes in the background stuff that I did, which I sent out yesterday or the day before, to account for the specific work that Working Group 1 is doing. So, no, I think it's excellent, and I don't really have anything to add other than, you know, if we stick to trying to end up at the same point, we'll be fine.
Thanks for that. Any other comment?
Peter here. I thought this was an excellent job. First point is just a factual error about one thing that struck me. The current board GAC working group wasn't set up at the request of the GAC. It's set up, as you say, on the 26th of June 2009. There's quite a detailed board resolution setting this up as a result of the recommendations of the President Strategy Committee.
Peter, I'll go back and look at that, although yep. I will say that the June 26th resolution specifically quotes that it's doing this at the request of the GAC. So that I didn't make that up. That came out of the resolution.
Okay. Maybe. As usual, it probably comes from a number of places.
Right. So I will go back and look at that strategy report and add that in just to complete the picture.
Thanks.
Can I just say, I think that this illustrates something that perhaps, Brian, we should park to one side as a thing we must do at some point, which is to fact check everything to make sure that the factual statements are correct. When I say factual, I mean in the sense of the flow of the information is correct, so that we make sure that we don't make simple mistakes, not that we seem to have made one, but in case we had.
Yeah, I agree with that, Chris, entirely. I think our immediate task is for the working groups, you know, using this as a guide and the framework you put together as a guide, that we pull together the fact statements, which have separate components. They have, as you can see, references to bylaws, to existing processes. They have references to public input and how that maps into this particular issues report, and they have just other generic facts that need to be plugged in. So first order of business is for all the working groups to create these drafts, put the content in. I think we will have to have a systematic approach to what you're asking, a systematic review and editing that makes sure that we have no factual errors in here. So that's agreed, and that'll be put on the agenda in some form. That being said, what struck me, oh, please, Mel.
I was just going to say that I fully agree to this. And what I did when Larry sent the document was that I went through it word by word and I even added a word that was missing in the bylaws. So, and it really the resolution says it's quoted exactly as it is. So, but again, it's worth double checking on everything. But I just wanted to clarify that a double check has already been made.
Yeah, and I think this is where, as a first pass, every working group needs to put these issues documents together. I had sent a draft of Working Group 4's document last night, and I had added some of my own fact-finding references using URL references to the accountability and transparency frameworks, which refer to the review mechanisms that are specific to Working Group 4's work. Also reference to the Board Governance Committee, which it should be implementing reviews of the review mechanisms. Also, you know, within the ICANN site, there is a listing of all the requests for reconsideration that have gone back to approximately 1999. All of those pieces need to be identified and plugged in by the working groups into their respective documents. But then at some point in time, we have to do fact-checking. In the example of Working Group 4, you know, Warren and his team put together an RFI, a request for information to ICANN staff, asking about, you know, how many reconsideration requests have been handled and asking specific questions about how those reconsideration requests have been handled. I think the best approach here is to have each working group fill these in as best and as comprehensively as we can, doing our own searching and referencing to the bylaws. Larry's done a really great, what looks like a comprehensive job here in citing the bylaws and other documents that refer to the GAC, advice to the board, that we do this. And then, Chris, as you suggest, we can talk about how to systematically fact-check ourselves and where ICANN staff can be useful, bounce questions off of them, but after we've done this work as a team.
Yeah.
Any other discussion on this point on the Working Group 2 draft? Okay, let's talk about moving forward then and staying on this agenda item. What we need is, I think, in the short term, to have each issues, I'm going to refer to it as an issues document. So in a given working group, you have a section of 9.1 that you're responsible for, and we each recognize that there are sub-elements to each section of 9.1. So a sub-element can create its own issues report, effectively. We need to have each working group have draft each issues report that it will draft, the entire universe of issues it's going to cover. One suggestion I had is that given our timetable here, the shortness of our timetable, that it might make sense to set a deadline that be done this coming week, and that we schedule another call for next Monday for the entire team to go over the outstanding issues reports. At a high level, there was some discussion on the list between Warren and Fabio, but it's one that's top of mind for everybody, which is how much can we do? How broadly should we cast our net on the issues here? I think that's an important issue, and we need to define the universe this week and then set off with the answering the analytical questions in the following week, and getting to final documents that can then be fact-checked and reviewed for accuracy. I have some discussion on that point. Is everyone comfortable with completing all the issues reports this week and having a call next Monday to review that universe and move forward from there?
Fabio?
Yeah. I'll do my best.
Fabio?
I think that, yes, we have to try and finish these reports by the end of the week. There's just one question that was already mentioned in some exchanging of emails that we might want to discuss already now. where are we going to discuss the issues on staff of ICANN, and to the extent that it's relevant to the question of the budget? Because at the moment, they could either be a sort of an external element that influences the public policy development process, or it could be something that affects the decisions of the board. At the moment, if you look at the remits of work group one, working group one and three, it's outside the two. What are we going to do with those issues? Staff of ICANN and perhaps budget.
I'm not quite sorry, Peter here. I'm not sure what the topic is. Sorry, Fabio, can you be a bit clearer about it?
The question is, we are looking at accountability and transparency. Can it be that there is something that affects the outcome in terms of accountability and transparency, and that it's linked to the staff of ICANN? Pay system, nationalities, geographic representations, representation. Maybe this issue that I mentioned myself, I find a little bit extreme, but who knows? There could be a link of the budget. These are issues that might be seen as having, as impinging in, to some extent, on accountability and transparency. But at the moment, they do not seem to fall into any one of the four of the remits of the four working groups. They could be seen as something having an effect on the way the board decides. They could be seen as having an effect on the way the public policy, the public development process, the policy development process work. So we have a choice, working group one or working group three.
Fabio, it's Chris. Can I ask a question? I'm a bit with Peter because I'm not entirely sure what you're getting at, but if I could just take working group one as an example. The second leg of our work involves the transparency of the board and thus accountability of the board decision-making process. Part of that is the input from the staff to the board in respect to briefing documents and so on. So I would say that in the context of working group one, staff input and the status of that is already included. Are you thinking about something else? Or?
No. Fine. You're telling me that you think these issues should be under working group one, in the document of working group one. Fine.
Well, I'm talking about I'm very specifically talking about the status of staff input in respect to the transparency of board making decisions, because that sits under one of the areas that working group one is looking at.
Yeah, but then we would have to extend it, because staff input is just, at the moment, was the question of briefings. The briefing material that has been published, to which extent it is made public or not. Here, there is a sort of wider question. Is there a problem or not with the composition of the staff, with the recruitment of the staff of ICANN?
And where do you think that sits in respect to...
I would put it in working group one.
No, I understand that, but in respect to the overarching discussion about our overarching reasons for existing to look at, which we've agreed, I think,
well,
to look at 9.1. Where does that sit in 9.1?
It is that if there may be the input, the question that is being asked is, if there was a sort of a wider geographic representation among, say, the senior staff of ICANN, there would be a greater awareness in ICANN already of a certain number of issues, and the input that would be transmitted to the board would reflect this greater diversity to a greater extent and would increase the achievement of decisions that are embraced and supported by the community.
So, Fabio, Peter here, so you're imposing that as a hypothesis that you want someone to test?
Yes, I think this is a question that has been asked more than once, and we have to say whether we think this is relevant and whether this has any effect or not.
So where the commitment says I can commit to having robust mechanisms for transparency, you would say one of the mechanisms would be the composition of the staff. Is there a robust, is the composition of the staff a robust mechanism for improving transparency?
There are a lot of people who say that at the moment ICANN is just emanates out of the Anglo-Saxon world. And if there were a sort of wider geographic presence among the senior staff of ICANN, that would probably have an effect.
Okay, I'm struggling a little bit with it. I think you've got a hypothesis of some sort that could be tested on, and obviously if it can be fitted in somewhere, it can be done.
Yeah, this is Brian. I think at this juncture, if I may, Fabio, I hear your hypothesis. Let's leave it to the working groups. The working groups are charged now in the coming week to create every issues report using the framework that Chris has built and Larry has put some meat on, every one that they are going to address, and submit it to the team so we can talk about it on a call next week. I don't have a problem in the next week with Working Group 1 and Working Group 3 picking up that hypothesis, concluding that it actually fits well within their remit, creating an issues report with respect to it, and coming back this week with that in hand. This is our opportunity next Monday to look at the entire universe, identify where there may be some overlap if there is an issue that falls in more than one working group, and then identify as a team whether or not that overlap creates issues or not. So I would leave it to the discretion now of the working groups themselves and the working group leaders to see if this hypothesis and any other that falls within the remit should be translated into an issues report. Is that satisfactory?
Yes.
Hey, it's
yes,
Brian. Brian, are you envisioning one report per working group or multiple reports per working group?
Well, I think there's multiple issues per working group, and depending on the nature of the issue, they could lend to separate reports. Of the one that you just drafted for the GAC is a single. Is that a single report from Working Group 2, Larry, or is Working Group 2 envisioning additional reports?
I can't speak for everybody, but I think it's comprehensive. I don't see a need for any more reports, and I guess I'd encourage the other groups to kind of find a way to encapsulate their issues into a single report. But it's going to be multiple issues. There's no question about that. But I guess I'm a little nervous about all of a sudden having lots of paper being produced as opposed to getting everybody to focus right now, right here, on what's really important in their working group.
But Larry, Brian, it's Chris. I agree with that. The point I would make is, and this goes back to Fabio's point as well as Larry's, having spent the time that I did yesterday working through the background on one particular issue, which is the skill set of, or board composition and skill set, what that led me to was two things. One, that the easiest way to do it is to split it up and do it in chunks, but then endeavor at some point to meld those chunks together into one report, because I think having a series of reports is tough. But secondly, in respect to Fabio's point, it's another one of those things that I think we might need to park to one side for a minute and maybe come to next Monday or whenever we can, which is to say, do the baseline reports produced by the working groups leave any issues that are of concern to individual members of the ATRT which haven't been covered? And if we can then get consensus that those things should be covered, I suspect, be relatively easy to figure out which working group they go in based on the sort of standard reports that each one has produced. So with Fabio's point about staff, it may be that it's completely covered by what Working Group 1 produces in respect to transparency, but maybe it won't be. And in that case, Fabio can argue at the appropriate time that there should be an addition to Working Group 1 mandate or one of the other Working Group's mandates that needs to be covered as a next step.
Thanks, Chris. And I would support that. So the goal for this week is to identify all the issues that a working group is going to address. If, you know, mechanistically it's easier for the working group to do that in the framework of one draft report, fine. If it's easier from a working perspective to break it out into separate chunks, as Chris suggests, fine. The important thing is identifying the entire universe. I agree, Chris, at that juncture, we see if there are any gaps or issues that haven't fallen in and determine as a team if they're important enough and they fall within the remit of the AOC, where should they fit and which working group should address them. That sounds like a common sense approach. And one follow-on thought to that, just related, is I think one of the tasks we're going to have in addition to that is we've received public comment, we've inventoried it. There's likely to be some public comment that I pointed to an issue or issues that didn't fall within the remit or for some other reason aren't going to be addressed within the working group reports and ultimately the review team's report that we'll have to identify and address somewhere in our final recommendations to let the community know that we've heard them, but give the reasons perhaps why those issues aren't being addressed or aren't being addressed at this time. And that's going to be another aspect of this, identifying, putting a clean line around the universe of issues we're going to make recommendations on.
Brian, this is Chris again. I agree with that, and I think there's one other point that arises, which is that, again, from the work that I've done, it's pretty clear to me that by next Monday, whilst the Working Group 1 report might, it will hopefully be in a state where we can discuss it in some detail, there will be things hanging out there. So, for example, we might say by next Monday, what's missing from our work is for us to talk to a number of the chairs of the nominating committee, for example. That is not going to happen between now and next Monday.
Right.
From Working Group 1's point of view, what I'm hopeful we'll get to by next Monday is a very clear path about what extra work needs to be done between then and whenever that will enable us to fill in some of the blanks that may still exist.
And that's what my thinking is, too. That's why I want to force this from the working groups now, and then that will leave next Monday is the 13th, and that leaves 4 weeks before we go to Boston, which should be for the working groups a substantial amount of time to fill in those gaps and do fact checking in a systematic way. Any other discussion?
Brian?
Yes. I think I heard Willie and then Manal.
Just one other thing that we might need to factor in during this week is having a look at Denise Michelle's matrix on accountability and transparency and doing a kind of cross-check on that. And then the other thing might be to check what in each of the working groups, which are the relevant reviews that ICANN has undertaken in the last year or so that might be pertinent. It's already in Working Group 1 in terms of the Boston Consulting Group review and in Working Group 2 in the Board GAC Joint Working Group, but I think it might be worth the other two working groups identifying what reviews are pertinent.
Agreed, Willie. On the first point, Manal and I already spoke to Denise, had asked her to update that document, and to the extent that there were any updates on her side, because it is, in fact, a useful template for each working group in putting the relevant bylaws, policies, procedures, pieces into their documents and existing review mechanisms, if any. It's a useful document, and I encourage all the working groups to make reference to and use that as you're going through your drafting process. And as soon as that that draft is back, it should hit the list and be at your disposal. But for the time being, certainly use the last iteration of that document as well.
Brian, it's Chris. Can we endeavor at least to get clear on the status of that document? Currently, it's marked confidential, and I was quite wary about referring to it in my document from yesterday. Can we?
Right, you are. No, that's right. Thanks for raising that, Chris, and it shouldn't be on the list right now. I wouldn't say that you need to refer to that document necessarily. What I was suggesting is, just as Larry did, you know, he went out and went into the bylaws and looked at the existing mechanisms and cited them in his own document. We should be doing that. All I'm suggesting is that we can, each working group can then look at that tracking document that Denise has created to kind of spot check to see if they've missed anything. And if so, then, you know, they can, each working group can pull that into their document and make their own citation to the document, not necessarily to Denise's tracking document, which is confidential. Manal.
Yes, Brian, you were suggesting next Monday for the conference call.
Yes.
I personally will be on my way to the IGF, and I understand that maybe other members will be. But again, if it's only me, then we can handle this. But I was just raising this in case some other members won't be available also.
No, you're quite right, Manal. We're all running into the IGF, and I'm flying on Sunday, so I didn't have a conflict, but others might. So can people indicate, Brian, whether next Monday would be difficult for them?
Brian, it's Chris. Can I suggest that one thing we might sensibly do is, given that there are a number of us who are going to be in Vilnius,
mm-hmm.
given that Monday is not, the IGF doesn't actually start until Tuesday, we might be able to take advantage of those who are already there to actually, you know, do some work while we're there, as well as have a call if we can.
I think that's a great idea. Can people indicate who's going to be at the IGF? Manal, Chris, myself,
Peter.
Anyone else? Okay. That being said, in terms of having a call, Manal, when are you flying on Monday?
I think during the day, if I remember right, I'll be arriving around 2 p.m.
Okay.
2 p.m. Vilnius time.
Brian, can we do this on the list? If we could.
That's what I was going to suggest. If you could send the send your itinerary or let us know when you're going to arrive, Manal, I'll see if we can work around your travel time. Because once we get into Tuesday, the IGF has started, it may become a little more difficult to schedule something. I'd like to see if we can make it happen on Monday. And if not, we'll look for Plan B.
Okay. I don't want to disrupt everyone else. I mean, if it's fine with everyone else, I'll see how things would work for me.
Thank you, Manal. We'll see what works best. Any other comments? Okay. Anything else on this agenda item? So the working groups have their respective marching orders. I would say, can we set Friday as a deadline to have all issues identified and next iterations of your reports drafted and submitted to the list, which would give everybody 2 full days to review before we get on the phone again, assuming it's Monday?
Sure. So you are now meeting on Monday?
We're going to be try to schedule a call for Monday. I'll wait to see what Manal's travel
schedule.
I don't
believe everything I was writing to the work team.
It's not set yet, Carol.
Yeah, Cheryl, I don't think it's necessary to. It doesn't matter whether we meet on Monday or not. I think the key is whether is what's a reasonable deadline to come up with a first cut, if you like, of each working group's report.
Is there a problem with Friday? I guess is the question. Is that reasonable? Can people make that?
Well,
I'll take silence as a yes.
Speaking from the working group, one point of view, I'll do my best to get some stuff to get everything done by then. I don't know about others.
Well, let's shoot for Friday then. Hearing no objections. Okay, moving on to agenda item number 3, which is discussion.
I may be missing something. Was there a Working Group 3 document?
No.
To have one.
No, that was in my notes.
You haven't missed the thing, Larry. With the exception of the reframing that was done post-Beijing, Work Group 3 has not restructured based on the reframing, but you've all had a copy of the reframing, and a number of you indicated your support, as has the Working Group.
Okay, this is Alice has now put it up on the screen. Thanks for that catch, Larry.
That's not the reframing.
No, that was a one-page.
That's the Beijing discussion paper.
Yeah.
Since the Beijing discussion paper, there's been a reframing document put out by Warren, and that's the current state of play in Work Group 3. A reframing and a refocusing, and a much narrower focus than the document that's up on the Adobe Room pad.
So that's Warren. Is that a Wednesday, September 1 document?
Larry, I'm the last person to ask, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I'm acting blank file at the moment.
James, you're on. Do you know when that was sent?
I'm just looking now. It was sent and it was commented by a couple of folks. I'm just trying to find the most recent.
I've got an email here from Warren, which for me is the second, but for for you guys probably the first. It starts, I wanted to share some thoughts below the signature.
Okay, I got that.
Can the document be sent once again?
You responded to it.
You got it. You responded to it, Fabio.
You literally responded to it.
I responded a few hours later, or an hour or so later.
Yes. Yeah.
However,
okay.
That's the current refocus, and it's based on that refocusing that what Work Group 3 puts together for Friday will be on.
Very good. I'm just forwarding it to the list right now for the heck of it, but we've got that document, and again. All right, so there's Working Group 3, and thank you, Larry, for catching that. Let me just check my notes to see anything else. I think that's everything.
And you haven't got my replies in that one. So would have been nice to actually have one of them that's been commented on, but that's one of the pre-comments. One, more work's been done since then. So
very good.
Let's keep going backwards. It's a great direction.
Okay. Well, let's. Are we all set with agenda item 2 then?
James has his hand up.
Thank you, James. James? Mute button is stuck.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. Yes, just one other point, Brian. You mentioned earlier that we did have a outstanding request to ICANN staff via an RFI and just wanted to check on the status of that as part of our working group update, whether or not that's been received by ICANN.
Yes, it has, and I asked Denise for September 10th response to that document, and I just pinged her to ask what the status is. I haven't heard yet, but I'll certainly touch base with her this week and make sure that the response to Working Group 4 is forthcoming on that.
Okay. Thank you.
And I guess let me add maybe one more specific task. Somebody mentioned it. For each working group, not just producing the universe of issues that you're going to treat, but to the extent that you can identify the outstanding tasks in that, as I think Chris referenced, we need to interview a board member, we need to interview a board governance committee member, we need to interview X, Y, or Z to fill in the fact-finding. It would be very useful if you've got that mapped out in your draft as well come next week.
Can I ask a logistical question on that? What is the status of if Olivier and I had an hour and a half discussion with Dennis as the chair of the board governance committee the other day? Now, what is the status of these discussions that we have? Should we be concerned about making sure that they are recorded or not recorded? How are we supposed to deal with those?
Well, this is data gathering, and there needs to be a basis for it. I would at a minimum think we would want to keep a summary of discussions that we've had. It has to be verifiable that the data gathering took place, the time, the manner, at a minimum a summary of the discussion, unless there was reason for confidentiality, which we understand may exist with some interviewees. Absolutely, there needs to be a documentation of that data gathering.
So maybe a recording without necessarily publishing it for our own purposes,
That certainly we could do that. I'm not sure that we've as a team established the specific protocols for this aspect of the data gathering.
I mean, if I was being talked to as chair of the CCNSO, I'd have no problem with that. But I would want to be clear as to what that conversation was going to, how that conversation was going to be dealt with. If it's an open conversation, that's one thing. If it's a chat between two or three people, that's another. So I just think it's important that we get clear about the status of these conversations.
Brian, Peter here. I think it's a very good point, Chris. I think working backwards from the report, what you want to be able to say is every statement that's in the report that says, you know, this is the current practice or this is a current problem, you need to have a reference to that, and the reference that would be conversation with the chairman of the BGC or conversation with the chairman of the CCNSO, and then there should be a reference to an MP3 recording, I suggest, is the easiest thing. If anybody wants to, they can go back and actually trawl through the source material. I wouldn't suggest going any further than that, but if we had the time and the money, you would probably transcribe that conversation, have it posted as a transcript.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's right. My sub question is effectively a step back from that, which is, and it's just something that I'm raising, which is, do we want if the recording or the transcript of the conversation is going to be available, that's fine, but we obviously need to declare that up front, and we need to say, you know, this conversation will be available.
Yeah, and we need to have the same set of ground rules for every conversation, as you said, including the one with you as the CCNSO or with me as the chairman of the board or whatever.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah, good
and
point.
I just think we need to get really clear. There's an argument that there is one side of the argument is that we ought to be able to have, you know, quote, off-the-record conversations, unquote, which fill us full of facts but are not quotable, on the one hand, but on the other hand, everything we do should be open and accountable. So I don't much mind which way it is. I just want to get clear.
Well, I think the answer is that would be our approach with each interviewee, that the approach should be that it's an on-the-record discussion, that it would be recorded, that the interviewee would understand that what he or she had to say could factor into the report, could be publicly available, but also provide the opportunity to have off-the-record conversations. This is the protocol we established essentially for the working of the review team, essentially, and it's very consistent with that, but we didn't make it specific to interviewees in the fact-finding phase of our work.
Brian, to take the one example that I know exists, there was an on-the-record discussion with staff and an off-the-record discussion with staff.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm able, in respect to Working Group 1, for example, to say to, and I'm just picking a name out of the air here, but to say to George Sadowski, I want to have an on-the-record discussion with you about the non-com, but I also want to have an off-the-record discussion with you about the non-com, is that acceptable? From the ATRT's point of view rather than from George's point of view, which is a different thing entirely.
I think ideally, Chris, you ought to explain why the off-the-record stuff is off-the-record, and I think you'd have no difficulty in that in relation to George. It would be personal observations as the chairman about the person, you know, about individual candidates and individual processes that you know would never be part of the public record.
Yeah.
But be clear that you're not talking, you know, that you are only talking about, if you like, acceptable confidentiality topics.
Yeah. Okay. Because I don't want you. The last thing I want is for George to be saying it might be, and again, I stress I'm making this up, but it would be useful for George to be able to say, you know, the general standard of candidates when I was chair of the non-com was, you know, on a score of 1 out of 10 X. And he might not want to say that necessarily publicly.
Yes. I agree completely.
So all I'm asking is that we get some sort of it's not complicated, it's just an agreement between ourselves that it's possible for us to have off-the-record conversations.
I'll put pen to paper and draft something to that effect so that we can circulate as a team and sign off on it as a team and use it as our MO.
I think go back to the kind of principle we agreed in Marina Del Rey, which was, yes, everything's on the record, but when you need to go off the record, you need to publish a reason for that. So in this case, it's the topic is interviews, and so they're all on the record except for the fact that some portions which need to be described go off the record. And in case you've just been looking at, and I agree with Chris, it's just an example that may not arise, this would, that you would explain that the thing that was off the record was because it dealt with individual candidates or individual classes of candidates, and therefore, you know, candor would require confidentiality when individuals were being discussed. So it was sort of a note like that. That comports with our existing policy.
Absolutely. I think it maps very cleanly to it. Okay, I'll put something together for draft that we can kick around and adopt quickly and have in place.
Thanks.
For everyone to follow. Okay, anything
Cheryl,
else that
I was actually just going to pick up on a couple of things, and Peter pretty well covered those towards the end of what we're saying, in terms of, you know, we did in fact have a set of what's in camera and what's not in camera standards, and by applying those to the report writing, I think we'd be heading in the most appropriate pathway. But I also then wanted to add, of course, it is very important that if there is record, in inverted commas, you know, this could mean a resolution, it could mean a formal record of another committee's meeting and things like that, then we should be not working on hearsay and second and third-hand information, but we should be going to the source documentation. So primary source material is important wherever possible.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Okay. Anything else on agenda item 2? All right, then let's work to number 3, which is discussion of ICANN staff and Berkman support for working groups. I think, well, we've already touched on in terms of some of the documents that Denise Michelle has pulled together and is pulling together, that we can continue to work with Denise, that the working groups will be the primary authors of their issues reports, and that we will check and validate our work against the source material that's been pulled together by Denise as we go forward. With regard to Berkman's support for the working groups, let's talk about that a bit. There was some discussion about using Berkman specifically for the task of reviewing the complete drafted issues reports from the respective working groups, taking that away, and then on the basis of their expertise, coming back to each working group with potential recommendations or suggested mechanisms that could then be recommended by the review team to ICANN board for consideration for improvements. Is that still an agreement of the group? I assume that's a task that we intend to give to Berkman once these respective issues reports are complete, not final, complete. Any issues there? Okay, that's something we'll...
Chris, the only point I would make is that I absolutely agree with you, but, some of us, certainly Working Group 1, has already asked, at least as sort of in example format, I asked in Beijing, I said to Berkman, could you, on the transparency piece of our work, you know, if there are any models of transparency and that you think might be applicable to the ICANN circumstance, could you recommend those? So I think it's important that because of our timing, we don't do all of this in a rush at the end. If things come up as we go along, then if we're going to use Berkman as a resource, we should do that as we go along rather than waiting until one particular point.
So this
I agree.
Excuse me.
Powers, please.
So first of all, thank you so much for this very helpful discussion. I think you've done a great job. The templates are extremely helpful and informative and are providing an excellent provide excellent guidance also for our work. So thank you for all the work that has gone into that. One suggestion along these lines may be that the Berkman Center will basically comment on the templates as they stand on Friday, and that we will provide three types of inputs before, you know, we would kind of engage with a completed issues map, as you just outlined it. The three types of inputs we could provide on next Monday's call, essentially, if it's scheduled for Monday or otherwise Tuesday, is first that we review each of the working group templates with regard to the issues listed and the questions asked. And there may be instances where we recommend or think that some additional issues may be included, or in some other areas we may have from our own review so far want to flag two or three questions or make them more explicit within a working group. And then obviously it's up to the working group to take or leave it as a suggestion. The second type of input is we could and should, I think, identify for each working group a template the interfaces with our own work, and I see that kind of as a two-pronged exercise. First of all, we could provide comments with regarding to the factual interfaces to our own work. So, for instance, we could flag areas where we think the case studies that we're working on may be helpful, illustrative to the particular working group with regard to a specific item or issue that you identified. Or to take another example, that we flag where we think the questionnaires and the interviews we're conducting may inform the working group's work with regard to, again, a particular item as identified in the template. The second type of interface input is more like with regard to the assessment part of your work. We could flag for each of the documents, again, at this earlier stage, so on Friday, once we have the revised versions. Where do we see links to the evolving working hypothesis that we talked about last week at the Beijing meeting? We could also certainly flag and identify some of the concepts or frameworks that may be helpful and inform the working group's work, especially in the later part of the template towards the end, where you exactly ask this question, well, what would be alternative mechanisms if there aren't already mechanisms in place? So the transparency framework that was just mentioned would be kind of one type of input that we're happy to provide, and actually we're working on that right now. So that would be the second type of input. And then perhaps the third type of input may be methodological suggestions. To take one example, in the template, in the general template, you list under analysis questions, which are, as I understand, not exhaustive, how has the framework worked in practice that you previously identified? And for instance, there we may help or provide, you know, comments on what are evaluation criteria that are that help us to answer this particular question, right? So that would be more on the methodological side. So to sum up, one of the things we could do is to take the revised templates and provide three types of inputs, review over all of the issues, do we see additional issues or questions or not. Second, what are the interfaces to our own ongoing work, both regarding facts and more regarding the evaluative part. And third, where you know we have thoughts on methodological issue approaches to provide that type of comment too. Would that be helpful?
I think it would be helpful, Urs. And back to Chris's point, you have seen the drafts that have come onto the list, and including Workgroup 3, which I just sent again to the list. And I know you confirmed that you've seen them on your end, but please take those and begin this from an analytical standpoint. We'll get you complete versions by Friday, which should give you the totality of the roadmap. And I would say to continue to work on that front. Obviously, you're in your fact-finding phase yourself, and there's still some work to be done there. So it's recognized that the interface on that will be important to our work, and that it will be coming in over the coming weeks as you go through your interview process. So that'll be an ongoing type of interface. For suggestions about alternative mechanisms or methodologies, to the extent that those, you had some of those to suggest to working groups and they were not themselves dependent on your fact-finding, please identify those to the working groups as soon as you can so that they can begin to look at them and think about them as possible mechanisms or methodologies that could work into final recommendations. That would be common sense to me. Any other thoughts from the review team on Urs's suggestion?
Brian, it's Chris. All I would say is I would encourage you not to hold back. In other words, if your team, and again, I'll use Working Group 1 as an example. Your team knows that Working Group 1 is looking at transparency. If you come up, if you know that there is a model out there on transparency that might be relevant, I would I'd encourage you to not wait for us to finish necessarily drafting our first cut, but actually to send a note that says, "Look at this," because it might be valuable or worthwhile.
Yes, point well taken. We, you know, we try obviously to balance a little bit as we move forward. The need to provide instant feedback and comments, but also given the dynamics of the process, not to be in a position where we have to revisit documents and comment on multiple versions. So it's a little bit of a balancing act. But I totally agree. If there are, you know, immediate thoughts, we're certainly happy to share it, and otherwise try to package it the way I described it by next Monday, if that's helpful.
Great. Any other comments first? Okay. why don't we move on to item number four, which is an update from Berkman on your progress and looking forward what your task list looks like and your timing looks like.
Excellent. Thanks so much. I think John Palfrey will start this discussion, and then Caroline Nolan will provide an update on where we are in our review process. John, over to you.
Great. Thank you, Urs, and thanks all for having us. I wanted really just to say a few quick notes about where we stand, and then Caroline to give more specifics. I think the big message back to the ATRT was how helpful the early look feedback was on the course correction that we had through Beijing. I think that's been helpful to us in the last week in multiple ways with respect to specific early findings and hypotheses, to be sure, with respect to our scope, which I think is the biggest thing that we continue to try to be very clear about and to nail, and of course as to methodology and specifics of interviews and so forth. So in all of those areas, we've taken your feedback to heart and continue to work it in. I think as a sort of level note in terms of our progress going forward, I think I wanted just to say that the mode that seemed to work pretty well of pushing a fair amount of material to you early, even though it was certainly half-baked at best, maybe a quarter-baked in some cases, but getting a lot of strong feedback certainly helped us. So we will continue with that. As Urs mentioned, of course, there's a review coming up of some of your documents, but as Caroline will walk through in more detail the kind of timeline we're working through, we're going to continue to try to push things out to you in not quite finished, and Brian's nice word, I think it was complete as opposed to finished materials going forward, so that we'll continue to get that kind of feedback. We hope, of course, to stay on the corrected course, this new course, as much as possible through that mode. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, and we've enjoyed getting the template documents and so forth in the interim. So Caroline, maybe if you want to hit the specifics, I will turn it over to you.
Sure. Thanks so much, John. And I just wanted to echo Urs and Don's comments. Today's discussion has been very helpful, and certainly seeing the templates from the working groups coming through and sharing them with our team has been particularly useful in the past week. As far as touching on some of the highlights of our progress in the last week, I did share a document last night in response to our discussion in Beijing regarding our approach to the interview process and the rationale and criteria that we're developing for how we're developing a smart sample, as we put it in our document, regarding how to develop a diverse set of perspectives and to certainly fill in the gaps in our research and approaches to the case studies and to get at some of the questions surrounding aspects of the case studies. The document that I sit around outlines key objectives, focuses on the broad categories of people that we are aiming to speak to in terms of each of the case studies. The third section just outlines a bit more clearly what we envision as the process thus far based on certainly your feedback in Beijing. We are in the process of working on the questionnaires, adding more specific and detailed questions and noting where the questions may apply to each of the six categories that we've outlined of particular targets for each of the case studies. It would be great as you're able to give the feedback that you mentioned regarding the initial drafts, and we're happy to review and certainly incorporate those into our questionnaires going forward. Just a note on the third section with regard to our approach to ICANN staff and to GAC members, that, as we touched on in our conversation, will be a two-step process, starting with a written questionnaire followed up by a phone conversation. With the next section of the report, we touch a little bit more on niches for each of the case studies. And in this document, we tried to certainly demonstrate in this section some of the different
questions and aspects of the case studies that we're focused on, and from our own fact-finding, who may be a possibility for outreach on that particular topic. Again, it would be great to have your feedback. I want to say thank you to Chris for your helpful and swift feedback with the first version of the document. I will note that we have been in touch with Heather Dryden and also conversations with Denise Michelle and Don Jeffrey regarding how we're pursuing both the staff and the GAT questionnaire. So as far as that process goes, I'm happy to have any feedback or discussion now, or I can continue on with the rest of our update and come back to it. Are there any questions, concerns? Okay, I'll move on then.
Oh, yeah, carry on.
Oh, great. Thank you. And then in addition to the questionnaires, we are continuing our work on the case studies. We've made good progress in the past week. We are continuing in our data gathering and analysis, and we'd love to talk about whether or not there's an opportunity, I think, in light of John's remarks and certainly the mode of your working groups, if there's a way that we can share early drafts with the working groups in advance of the timeline that Brian has put together. In this sense, we hope that it's an opportunity both to solicit your feedback but also to check our facts and approaches and ensure that they align and support your processes.
Yeah. Yes, Karen, if that's a question, I think based on the remarks between Chris and Orson and myself just a few moments ago, I think if we can proceed down the path where your team is actively providing the working groups with specific feedback, recognizing that your interview process is going to take some time and that feedback will come over time, but that there's as immediate and, you know, in the coming days and weeks, feedback on potential mechanisms, methodologies, and other items that are responsive to the working group's papers, that's what's most important. And I think, you know, there's a recognition that there's two pieces of work here. There's the case studies, which you have now reframed a bit and are going off to do effectively, and there's the parallel work path of direct support to the working group, which is going to require as much upfront input from Berkman as possible. That's my high overarching view.
Great, thank you. That's helpful. And as Orsted noted, we are working in response to Chris's respect request on the transparency memo, and certainly thinking about the different models that may be applicable to ICANN. As far as just the flow of feedback as possible, when we come to a place where we have a good, strong draft of the case studies, it would be great if we could think through an opportunity and perhaps incorporate that into our timeline where we can share them with the working groups as a draft to gather your feedback as well and ensure that we're moving forward in the same way. So, on the case studies, I was hoping that we might have an opportunity, and I'm not sure if this call is the right venue. I know that the review team has the opportunity to speak with John Jeffrey regarding, I think, both the XXX case and perhaps the time-boundedness question factored into other conversations in Beijing. Would it be possible to talk through that a little bit if you came to any conclusions or findings on that front and how they may impact the case studies?
If you're going to have the conversation, I will drop off, and Manal or somebody from the group, can you just ping me on the chat when the conversation is done? Manal, do you want to take the chair, and I'll come back?
Alternatively, if it's easier, we can also have a chat with Manal after this call and get an update or briefing from her, if that's more convenient in terms of the workflow and so forth.
Manal, would you be able to talk to Berkman offline? I'm not sure she's still on the call.
That's okay. I can follow up with her directly.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. And then finally, in addition to the document I shared last night, the revised questionnaires and ongoing progress on the case studies, we are continuing to do work on cross-sectional issues. Certainly, as I mentioned, the transparency memo that we discussed coming out of Beijing, in addition to corporate governance work in light of Working Group 1's memo and our conversation in Beijing. And we hope to be able to report on that progress next week or in our next meeting.
Sounds good.
Great. And then just a final note as far as our progress goes. We have the midterm report slated for September 8th. It would be great to have a quick discussion regarding how best to approach that report and the expectations of the group.
Certainly. From where I stand, it seems to me as though the midterm report, obviously with the recent reorienting of the work and this next iteration out here, the midterm report wouldn't consist of much more than what you've put in front of us to date, unless there are aspects of the work. I think you've alluded to, or that there are some aspects of your work that you haven't shared with the team. This would probably be the best opportunity to do that and include that in the midterm report, unless there's some real solid reason as to why that wouldn't be shared at this point in time. That would give us a very full picture of where Berkman is driving its work. Is that something you intended to do in the midterm report?
We're certainly happy to do so. It's a little bit a question of timing, and you signaled originally some flexibility with regard to the due date. So if we could say, for instance, we submit the midterm report next Monday instead of this Wednesday, then we could certainly share more materials and we'll be well prepared to make it a richer document.
Any objection to that suggestion from the team? Any discussion?
Brian, it's Chris. I think the most important thing is that the midterm report is useful, so if more time is needed, then that seems to me to be perfectly reasonable.
That's my sense as well. So why don't we go with that? Let's go with, you said next Monday, Urs?
Right, that will be the 13th.
Okay, let's go with next Monday and make that as comprehensive as you can. And we'll pick it up from there.
Brian, Chris, again, just one point. If we're going to have a call next Monday, then it would obviously be useful if we had the report prior to the call, because these calls are hard to organise. So I don't
right.
know what that actually means, but if we could maybe get the call. I mean, I don't know, what time are you... If Berkman's working on... sort of generally speaking, Eastern States, New York time, then maybe we could get that, before our whatever time our call is in New York time on Monday, if it indeed is going to be on Monday. Or maybe we just agree that we can't do it on Monday, we do it on Tuesday.
Or we push the call to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Chris, we just have to juggle. We can do this. Peter, Manal, Chris, if we can, between the four of us, compare notes on what our hard schedules are in Vilnius on Tuesday, and I can look for a hole, and then we could just go for the call on Tuesday. Berkman can send the midterm report on Monday.
At the risk of blocking this call with irrelevant information.
Yeah.
Tuesday for the IGF is basically some opening workshops and the opening ceremony. So it may be that Tuesday is certainly the critical internet resources session, which is the first main session is Wednesday morning, and Tuesday afternoon there are some feeder sessions into that, which I need to go to. But Tuesday might work if we can find a time. If that gives Berkman enough time to get their report together and everybody else an extra few hours to get their stuff together.
plus it avoids Manal's travel day. Let's then go on the approach of getting the Berkman midterm report on Monday the 13th, and we'll organize a call for Tuesday the 14th and give everybody a roughly 24 hours to go through that report.
Excellent.
Okay. Thanks, Orson.
That sounds great.
All right.
Okay. Anything else on your end?
No, I would just say, again, thank you so much, Chris and Sikir, for your feedback. To the extent that the group has any thoughts or comments on the document we shared last night, we'd welcome any further recommendations on interviews. And in addition, if you have specific thoughts regarding our previous versions of the questionnaires, it would be great to have that so that we can incorporate that into our final product.
Very good. We'll provide that to you.
Sorry, Chris again. Sorry. Caroline, I know this is a grossly unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. As you currently sit, are you reasonably confident of meeting our current timeline?
Yes, we are.
Okay, Caroline, anything
yes.
else?
That was it from our end. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you all. John, Ors, Caroline, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's move to the, face-to-face meeting in Boston is the next item, but why don't we do the timeline, which includes Boston. Alice, can you, the timeline document that I sent last evening, U.S. Eastern Time. Do you have that? Okay. So let's just walk through this again and make sure we're comfortable with our guideposts here. We've just changed the midterm report for Berkman to September 13th. And the September 20th date of working group submitting all framework issues documents to ATRT, that would be the, I guess, the complete but not final, as I characterized them. The deadline for this coming Friday is to have all your issues identified, as much work around them as you can, but then targeting September 20th for having the working groups to submit their complete but not final issues documents to the review team. So let me start there. Is that well targeted? Is it reasonable?
And what will, how will those documents be different than what we talked about today?
From what we submit on Friday?
Yeah. I mean, are you actually looking for all the questions to be answered by the 20th?
Oh, good point. I really was thinking about the fact statements, the background documents, the public comment, having all of those pieces put together. No, I don't think, Larry, now that you're focus in on the questions being answered, I wouldn't think that the questions would be comprehensively answered as of the 20th.
Would we have our interviews done, Brian?
That would be an aspiration for each of the working groups. That's 2 weeks hence.
Subject to availability of people, I don't think it's a bad thing to have an aspiration.
Let's keep it there as an aspiration, because the key is we're going to have, you know, a two and a half week period before going into Boston. That's going to be critical to the work, and so data gathering, completeness of the issues reports is going to be, by the end of the month, an absolute necessity. So let's keep that as an aspirational target. On the Berkman side, we talked about Berkman providing their inputs, their proposed recommendations, identification of alternative mechanisms and methodologies to the working groups. And in the Beijing meetings, I talked about the 24th of September as a target date. Pushed that out a week, given where the Berkman is in terms of their data gathering and workflow. That seems to me to be a bit more reasonable, and it still provides the working groups with 10 days roughly to ingest that and work it into their draft recommendations and reports as we go into Boston. I'll recommend that we put that date there for Berkman to give each working group its download, if you will.
Well, this source again, I think this sounds right. And again, I mean, given the fact that we will provide now on this templates already this type of feedback, it's more kind of a process rather than a point in time, right? So I think it makes sense to have two dates, but I also recognize that hopefully much of the feedback we can give on the drafts is already incorporated in the final documents from the 20th. So we have two layers of review, essentially, and input.
Right, right. Okay, let's keep that date there then, and then we have the working teams will have 10 days, the working groups have 10 days before we sit down in Boston on the 11th. And for the face-to-face meeting in Boston, we do not yet have an agenda. What we're anticipating, Oris, is that by the 11th, Berkman will be in a position to provide a presentation of effectively what the final report is going to be, if not in writing, but certainly in ability of Berkman to give us a download. I assume that that's going to take up the better part of one day, and we have 3 days to work with. And the rough discussion about the other 2 days is that these would be working sessions where, in a dynamic sense, the working groups and the review team work with Berkman to, you know, kick the tires of the draft recommendations before they go out in public, check the analysis, the answers to questions, the factual foundations, and make sure that they're solid pieces of work. Beyond that, we haven't put, a finer point to how we're going to run the 3 days, but I'll put something in agenda form, and we can circulate that and make that final in the coming days.
That sounds great. There is also kind of one complexity, of course, that we, as you know, teaching starts tomorrow, so we have to work around some of our faculty schedules as well, so that's something to take into account when we structure the agenda, but we're having this conversation offline, I guess.
Okay, let's have that conversation offline, and we're going to talk about logistics offline as well.
Yep.
And per Beijing, we had October 20th as the likely date for publishing draft recommendations for public comment, taking into account the need for translation coming out of the Boston meeting, and a 30-day public comment period, which would have the public comment period closing on November 19th, and then moving into the Cartagena meeting on December 5th. We're going to have an interaction with the board, and on December 6th or 7th, an interaction with the community. And then I just picked December 24th as a date to submit the final recommendations, but understanding we have under the AOC until the 31st if needed. I wanted to ask one question of the team and surrounding Cartagena. We've engineered this schedule for us to walk into Cartagena with near final recommendations for presentation to the board and an interaction with the community based on near final recommendations. And that has put some pressure on us in terms of taking public comment, which again has to be translated once it's done out of any foreign language, any languages into English to be included into the working group's work. And it puts some pressure on us to have a near final report walking to Cartagena. My question is that absolutely necessary? That we walk into Cartagena with a near final report of recommendations. Could we go into Cartagena having interaction with the board and interaction with the community on a verbal basis and be working on the report past Cartagena towards submission by the 24th? It occurs that might take some pressure off the work schedule. And is anything lost if we took that approach?
Ryan, it's Chris. It seems to me that it's just from my experience, there may be a significant amount to be gained. There may be a significant amount to be gained by having part of the open comment period in the meeting. Now, I don't. There may not be, but it seems to me that we seem to be determined to have produced a final, almost final report prior to Cartagena, and I wonder whether your point isn't right that if we were to publish our draft final report at a particular date, that enabled us to close the comment period in Cartagena and then deal with comments, including comments from the board, post that to then produce a final report by, say, and I accept the 24th of December is probably the most logical date given that pretty much everything closes down after that, that may actually be us wringing the absolute most and best out of our time, because I'm unclear as to what the purpose of having effectively, if we produce a final report subject to public comment, that comment period is closed and all we're doing is turning up in Cartagena and having a meeting with the board and a presentation session. I'm not sure quite what's to be gained by that if the public comment session is closed.
Fabio.
I see our interaction with the board to a large extent as a part of our consultation effort. We will have had the period of public consultation. In my view, we should be doing exactly what you have just suggested. We should be agreeing among ourselves on an oral presentation, on an oral line to be presented to the board. Then we should be testing to a certain extent with the board their immediate reactions.
Yeah.
And so I would produce even a draft report, whatever you want to call it, anything in writing, after the interaction of the board. Because otherwise, what's the point of discussing with the board? We will be getting into a sort of game where people will be just checking the words in the document before and after to see how the board has changed their mind. Or if we don't change anything, what's the point of interacting with the board?
Yeah.
If we go with already a precise view. No, I think that we should be following Brian's suggestion, having the preliminary meeting among ourselves, where we shall be going through the results of the public consultation. We shall be agreeing on the few final points that seem unclear. And then we shall have the meeting with the board on the basis of an oral presentation.
So, Fabio,
and then we will have two more days to finalize the document.
Yeah.
And the benefit of a 45-day public comment period as opposed to a 30-day?
Well, no, I would still call it a 30-day consultation period. To close on the 19th of November, otherwise people will send, the comments will come in too late.
But Fabio,
effectively, sorry. We'll be taking into account also comments that arrive after the deadline, and we will be taking into account whatever the board will tell us.
Mm. Fabio, it's Chris. Can I just, I think we sort of agree, but not quite. It seems to me that let's deal with the board first. If the public comment period is still open, then the interface with the board forms a part of that public comment period. That's the first point. Secondly, it gives the community an opportunity to put comment in physically, verbally, at an ICANN meeting as well. Thirdly, I wonder whether if there is a concern about getting input from the board, we couldn't maybe schedule a call with the board during the open comment period to enable the input to be given. My point, I think, is that if we were to include the at least the first few days of the Cartagena meeting as part of the public comment period, the advantage of that for us would be that we don't have a deadline of November the 19th to actually, I'm sorry, October the 20th rather, to actually open the comment period, but we actually have a little bit more time because it would enable us to run the comment period through into Cartagena and then finalize the report based on the public comment after Cartagena, including the board comment. Which I think is what Brian was suggesting. Brian, did I summarize that correctly? Or
there's a practical problem with this, though, which is that, and I think Fabio put his finger on it, which is that nobody files in these comment periods until the end, which means we would go into Cartagena without really knowing what the reaction has been to the draft recommendations. We're flying blind at that point. The advantage of having closed the comment period before we go in there is that we'll have that universe of comments that we will have been able to sift through and assess and determine whether that changes our views on things. I don't view the board discussion as taking public comment. I view it as really a chance to sit down and go over why we've proposed what we have, what the public response to it was, and get some feedback. But I don't know that it rises to the level of public comment. Because I don't view that discussion as of the same variety as what we're getting from the public prior to that. And I'm nervous going into Columbia without having received the written comments from people on these recommendations. It seems to me all you're doing is now creating a tremendous workload potentially in December, because after you come out of Columbia, somebody's going to have to sit down and sift through all those public comments that will have just come in, figure out a way to incorporate them into the report, and I think the report maybe changes significantly from that depending on the public comment we receive. I'd rather go into Columbia with a near final sense of what we're going to do. I'm less concerned as to what the work product looks like and whether it's all polished up and released or not, but we need to know what we're going to recommend when we go into Columbia, I think.
Fabio, let me rephrase the point that Larry and I were making. I think there is a strong case for having the official consultation period closed so that we can have the inputs, the translations, and everything. That being said, if after the formal end of the consultation period, anyone from the community, from anywhere else, from the board, comes up with one or two interesting suggestions, of course we will take them on board if we think they are relevant. So I would make a distinction between the official consultation period, which would be preferable be closed before we go to Cartagena, and the time when we can de facto still receive inputs.
Chris? I accept that. My only point is that gives us effectively a hard deadline of, under Brian's current timeline, of October the 20th. And the question I have is whether we will be ready by October the 20th to produce a document that can be described as an effectively final report subject to public comment. That's all. I was sort of seizing on what Brian said as maybe an opportunity to give us a little bit more time to work on the document before we produce it. That's all. If anyone's comfortable that we can meet that agenda, then so be it.
Yeah, and then this is Brian. I see a clear potential gain there as well, and I guess it's you're trading one off for the other. You're releasing a little pressure on the 20th of October and giving some flexibility, but perhaps creating some pressure in December. One operating assumption for some on the team is that the public comments may not produce anything that dramatically impacts the report, or probably won't, since that's just one assumption, but it's a trade-off. I think what we should do then is let's proceed apace in the next 2 to 3 weeks and see where we are. And certainly 2 to 3 weeks from now, we're going to have a much better sense about whether October 20th is achievable. And if we get to a point where we think it isn't achievable, we still have the flexibility to tweak this calendar. And this is one way we could tweak this calendar to make an accommodation for that date, if need be.
Brian, it's Chris, fine with me.
Okay. Okay, we are. Yeah, Louis.
Hey, whenever we end up closing the public comment period, if something interesting comes in after that, we don't necessarily have to produce work on it. We can even document it as something that a future review team should look at, or a future group. It doesn't have to be us. But as long as we document it, I think we at least do it justice.
Yeah, you're quite right. I agree, Louis. And that may be one result of the public comment with little impact to the report. Again, there may be something that comes forward that is fundamental and steers the report in a different direction. And we have to be willing to have the time and ability to make that turn if need be. Okay. Any other business? We're past the hour. Is there any other item that we need to address? Okay, then. Working groups, please have your issues reports, your reports with all of your issues in by Friday. I would stress, please go through the public comment as well as you're doing this, using Fiona's reference document, and make sure that you've looked at the public comment that's relevant to your respective working groups. And then we will go about trying to schedule a call for next Tuesday.
Brian, if I may, this is Manal.
Yes.
We've just received an email from Alice with the hotels in Boston, and I was just wondering if the objective is that we are all booked at one hotel, right? Or
I would like to let's give people options if possible. Being
okay.
At the same hotel is being at the same hotel is ideal, but depending on people's budgets and other items, perhaps. We may not all be able to be together, but what has Alice sent? I haven't seen it.
Came in about 2 hours ago, Brian.
All right, let's take a look at this offline, and if there's one hotel that is the best and we can all be in one place, we'll make that recommendation, and we can do this on the list.
Okay, I just need to put the hotel for the visa. That's why I was interested to know whether there is flexibility or we're all going to the same hotel. But we leave it online. Thank you.
Yeah, I think ideally it would be good to be in the same hotel, but understood if that doesn't happen at the end of the day. Any other items? Okay, thank you all.
Thank you very
much. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Paul.